Okay, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, my name is Tessa Wexler. I'm a fourth-year political science and communication double major, and I'm also the Associated Students President this year.
Thank you so much for coming in. As I was telling you before, I know like how busy you are, so I really appreciate you taking the time to come talk to us.
Of course.
So, I mean, it's been an eventful week, to say the least. Yeah. And I saw you just recently posted about this, so I apologize for having you repeat yourself, right. But how are you doing?
I mean, yeah, I literally posted about this half an hour ago, and I really said, you know, it's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And, you know, it's always going to be challenging being a Jewish person in this world, but especially, you know, a Jewish leader, because leadership is already isolating as it is. So challenging. My favorite tagline recently is stressed but blessed.
Oh,
so
oh my.
that's what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, like, being a female leader, too, like, yeah. That's probably very challenging.
Very true.
So let's start at the beginning of last week. What were you hearing from Jewish students around that time, and why did you feel it was important to show up at Monday's gathering at the MCC?
I think that the Jewish community has been swallowing their discomfort regarding anti-Semitism on campus for years now, but especially in the past 4 months. And I think that when they saw on social media, you know, what had materialized at the Multicultural Center, they really had a choice to make. And they chose bravery. They chose to go to a place in which they were being excluded from and take a stand and say, you cannot exclude us from this space. It was really, to me, a act of civil disobedience. It was, you know, I would call it a sit-in, but ultimately it was showing that Jewish students will not be excluded from spaces on campus and that we're not going anywhere.
Right. And I remember at the last week's Senate meeting, you were talking about how you were trying to engage in dialogues with the other people there, if you want to touch on that as well.
Yeah, definitely. First, I want to note something, that the closure of the MCC has disproportionately affected students of color on this campus. And it's extremely upsetting to me that other students have had to lose a space that is both sacred and safe for them as a consequence of, you know, first of all, a couple of select students, but also maybe students that don't align with views of other people on campus. But, you know, when I was in the MCC, I was really trying to engage in dialogue, first by listening and truly understanding, you know, where am I falling short as a leader? I think that as a leader, I should always be welcome to criticism, and also drawing the line between criticism of my Jewish identity or my identity in general and criticism of me as a leader. And, you know, I did get a lot of feedback about not, you know, showing up enough into different spaces, different community spaces. And at the same time, I had expressed that the reason I haven't been comfortable showing up is because I've been told that I shouldn't be there, or that I'm not allowed, or that I've been threatened online. And the biggest fear of being targeted online is that you have no idea who it is. So I don't know if I'm sitting next to someone that sent me a death threat the day before. So for me, it's been trying to juggle the responsibility of being a student leader and showing up for these underrepresented groups, and at the same time, not compromising my own safety.
I want to touch briefly about the threats, as you mentioned, because I mean, as a very prominent figure on this campus, you've been subject to criticism, condemnation, and even threats. But why were those posters different for you?
For me, it was different because it was so blatant in terms of how it was presented, that it was like posters on campus in the same building in which my office is located, in which I work. Second, I've been really okay with being the person that's receiving the majority of the hate online in terms of the fact that, not okay with, but I've accepted that I'm going to receive more hate. And if that protects my community from it a little bit, if I get to be kind of the barrier or the buffer, I've chosen that. But this was not just about me. This was about the entire Jewish community at UCSB. And honestly, it was my breaking point because, as I mentioned, I've been going through this for the past 4 months. This started on October 9th, the harassment I've been experiencing. And this was just, this just felt different. And it felt kind of like, let's see how far we can push the boundary of excluding Jewish people from campus spaces before we're told that we're not allowed to do it. And yeah, like I just felt like I had to say something. I had to stand up for myself because, again, the Jewish community that day, they were watching to see what I was going to do. And they were watching to see how their leadership would react. Would I, as a leader, be brave and stand up against anti-Semitism and state, you know, calling me out as an individual, writing posters saying you can run but you can't hide are not acceptable? Or would I pretend like it didn't happen? So I chose the first option.
From my understanding and from the Daily Nexus's reporting, the decision to temporarily close the MCC was made that same day, Monday. And correct. After discussions with student leaders and MCC staff, are you able to comment on whether you were one of those student leaders since you are like the AS president?
It'll shock you when I say I was not a part of the conversation to close. It was something that I was informed was going to happen. And at the time, I didn't necessarily step in because I think I was trying to, I was told that the reason to close the MCC, and it was an indefinite thing, I didn't know if it was going to be, you know, for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, was really to be able to do an investigative report to understand what had happened here. And to me, to be able to do that observation was important for all parties involved to best protect them and their safety. So I was not a part of the conversation to close the MCC, but I was informed that it was going to happen after the decision had already been made.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Sure.
So that decision to close the MCC was made on February 26th, the same day as the posters and that gathering. The university sent out related emails on the 27th and 28th condemning these unauthorized signs and anti-Semitism. Previously, UCSB was criticized for responding slowly to instances of anti-Semitic and anti-Arab bias and hate. Why do you think their response time has changed and accelerated now?
I think, again, this specific act was just way more, I don't know, a violation, I guess, because not only was it exclusionary, but it had direct targeting with people's names, including my own, but not just me. So I think that it was different because it was a much more, you know, hostile environment. It was something that was, again, causing direct exclusion. And I do also think that I played a part in it because I stressed, first of all, I don't think statements are the end goal here. And, you know, statements are more for clarity. And the first statement, you know, for the majority of the student body, they're like, what happened at the MCC? Like, yeah, the situation wasn't even described. So, you know, in my opinion, statements are purely performative. They're, you know, for clarification, whatnot. So I'm assuming that administration was just trying to get ahead of it. But again, was not shown either of the statements before publication and was not consulted on those statements either.
I know you've talked to a wide variety of students, even those who disagree with you on this. What have they told you about their feelings on the university's responses? And how do you, you already touched on this, but how do you personally feel about how UCSB has taken action in the past and now?
I think that we have a systemic anti-Semitism problem on our college campuses right now. I think that the university response is not going to be enough until they show the Jewish community on campus how they're going to protect them. Because right now, we feel unprotected. Because even with me in that position of being the student body president, the Jewish community maybe feels some sense of ease. But what happens when I'm no longer there? And for me personally, I want accountability hand in hand with restorative justice. I think it's important to educate. I think it's important to have dialogue. I think it's important to learn how we can humanize one another. And I've actually just recently had some really incredible conversations with Muslim students who came to me and told me actually that they stood against what had happened to me. And it gave me a lot of hope for the future, because I see that there's a lot of shared value in fighting anti-Semitism, because I believe that if we fight anti-Semitism, we are also fighting against Islamophobia, we are fighting against anti-Blackness, we are fighting against other forms of discrimination on this campus. I think that it's a shared fight. It's not a Jewish fight. Fighting anti-Semitism is not a Jewish fight. It's the fight of it's everyone's fight. And that's what I want to see more of. So I think it's a start from the administration. I don't think it's enough. And to be frank, I don't think that we should see it as the administration's job. I think we should see it as a student body's responsibility to work on campus climate and for the administration to maybe guide and support those efforts. But it's collective.
So last week really catapulted you to a national stage. And yes, this was like reported on ABC News, which is like crazy. And I also saw David Schwimmer repost, like, which is, oh my gosh.
Yes.
But can you talk a little bit about the responses you've received since last Monday?
Sure. First of all, none of this was expected for me. I literally put together a post in like 20 minutes, posted it, and I was just like, I just need to say something. It was a very emotional reaction, also well thought out, but also partially emotional. And it just kind of blew up.
Yeah, there's like tens of thousands of likes.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Tens of thousands and so much support flooding in. And the reason that I think that it's caught on to the national stage is because there hasn't been many Jewish students that have spoken up in the way that I have and have been in the position that I've been, and, you know, receiving so much hate and kind of, I guess, doing this anyways, speaking out against it anyways, knowing what the cost would be. I knew that I was going, that my anti-Semitism was going to double. I knew that when I posted it. And I just weighed, you know, being a brave voice more than the cost of the anti-Semitism that I was going to receive. So the support has been absolutely wild, which is why I describe it as the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, because, you know, my name is getting graffitied on bathroom stalls, but then at the same time, you know, I'm talking to people like David Schwimmer, who are incredible Jewish leaders that are standing up against anti-Semitism, and find it inspiring that someone my age is doing the same. So, yeah, it's been unreal. It's been really challenging. And, you know, if I have the opportunity to show Jewish students that they can stand up for themselves and be in positions of leadership and not feel isolated, then I'm going to continue doing it.
I want to move on to something a bit more controversial, if that's okay. So after gaining thousands of followers on Instagram, I saw you posted on your personal Instagram about supporting Jewish-owned businesses. First, can you share why you felt that was important now more than ever?
Every single week, when I open my phone, I see at least, I don't know how many incidents, at least one incident a day of a Jewish store being vandalized, of a Jewish business, you know, being harassed. So for me, in, you know, rising rates of anti-Semitism, I think that it's important to show Jewish people that we support them. So for me, it's important to highlight, first of all, businesses that are donating money.
Right.
So a lot of the proceeds for the organizations that I'm supporting are donating money to relief efforts, which is an important cause for me. And secondly, I mean, would you ask any other minority, you know, like, why are you supporting your people's businesses? Like, you know, you wouldn't ask that question. I'm supporting my friends, I'm supporting my family, and I'm supporting a people right now that are experiencing, like, you know, like, insanely high rates of anti-Semitism. I don't even know the percentage, so I didn't want to say it incorrectly. I was going to say, like, a 500% rise in anti-Semitism, and in some cities, that's true. So, you know, if for every shop that's vandalized, I'm going to make a post about them, and I'm going to make sure that they're being supported.
Can you tell me about the nonprofit, the Safe Heart, Mia Shem, and the meaning behind We Will Dance Again? That's part of the business you're supporting currently.
Sure, I can tell you about We Will Dance Again. So the majority of what I've been trying to highlight is the hostage crisis and also the people that we lost in the Nova Music Festival. Because I think that as anyone who loves music, as anyone who's ever been to a concert, you know, these people were going to go and listen to music, to dance with one another, and they were violently and brutally, you know, I don't even want to say the words, just treated in unimaginable ways, in inhuman ways. And one of these women was taken hostage, and her name is Mia Shem. And she really stuck out to me because she and I are the same age. And she was released in one of the hostage exchanges. And she posted one of her first photos of a tattoo on her arm that said, "We will dance again." And it's actually based on a song. I'm trying to remember. It's based on a song called We Will Dance Again. But it has a very powerful meaning behind it that eventually the Jewish people will survive this. Eventually, those that experienced what they did on October 7th will get back to what they were originally doing, which was dancing at a music festival. And I believe every person deserves that, right? And especially someone like Mia, who will probably never be the same again.
It's crazy, like, how young she is. I mean,
yeah.
Like you said, she's our age, and she had to go through literally being kidnapped, and
yeah.
Anyways, there was one comment on the post, and they were referencing that this perception that you might be leveraging your new clout to post ads and promote businesses. What would you say to that?
I don't make any money off of doing it. I don't receive any form of compensation, any form of payment. And to suggest that is anti-Semitic within itself. To suggest that I, as a Jewish person, am trying to profit off of my anti-Semitism is vile, to be frank. And really, I don't have any ill intentions. I'm really just trying to highlight what the fact that I have a following is something that should be used, no? Like, if I have people that are listening, why wouldn't I uplift, you know, Jewish voices? Why wouldn't I uplift a Jewish woman who has been working really hard to make sweatshirts that are highlighting this really crucial story that Mia Shem started? Like, why wouldn't I be doing these things? So, again, to suggest things is complete, you know, character assassination. It's not the type of person that I am. It's dehumanizing. And to be clear, I haven't earned a penny off of posting different businesses and clothes.
One major fallout from this was the doxing of 24 students by an Instagram account called Israel War Room.
Right.
The account alleged these students were responsible for the MCC posters and cited social media posts as evidence. I believe you shared their post but eventually deleted it and stated, quote, "We don't solve harassment with more harassment. One community's safety cannot come at the expense of another."
Right. So to be clear, I didn't reshare their post. I wanted people to know what I was talking about. So I put the post on my story and covered it with my caption that said exactly what you're reading right now. And then 10 minutes after it being up, I realized I was like, oh no, this is probably going to give it more clicks. So I deleted it and I reposted the story with just my caption. And I reached out to literally every single influential person that I could think of to DM this account to get it taken down. And it did get taken down because of pressure. And if you saw the comments, by the way, on that post, it was every single Jewish UCSB student saying, we don't stand for this. Yeah. This is wrong. So again, the fact that it's being highlighted that, you know, I'm a human. I didn't realize in the moment. I was just trying as fast as I possibly could to get the message out there because I thought that if I put it up, then more people would report it. Mm-hmm. More people would DM the account. More people would say, take this down, take this down, take this down. But I realized that I, you know, unintentionally was actually amplifying it. So that's why I took it down. And again, doxing is disgusting. Doxing is wrong. And again, I stand by what I said, that we don't solve harassment with more harassment. We don't create insecurity for already marginalized groups on campus. So I stood against that very strongly, and I will continue to. That goes against every fiber of my being.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Of course.
The last time I checked a couple minutes ago, I saw you were still following this account. Could you perhaps explain your reasoning behind that?
Honestly, I follow a lot of different accounts, and the fact that they deleted it means a great deal. And they post a lot of information that I find relevant. And I'm also a firm believer in following accounts that you disagree with sometimes, that challenge your worldviews. So if I'm not following it and they do something like that again, how would I be able to stand up against it? I'm not going to know that it's up. So I'm following to maintain watch, and also I do believe that they have shared useful information in the past, and, you know, they corrected their mistake. So it's something that I think is going to be something that I would reevaluate depending on how the account progresses and what they continue posting. But as of now, just because I follow an account doesn't mean that I condone every single action. It means that social media is a source of information, and it's a source of discourse, and I want to be aware and I want to be informed.
For the people who were responsible for the MCC posters, in your opinion, what would justice look like in this case? And in other words, what kind of discipline do you think they should face?
It's just, and I gave this answer in Senate, that my goal is not punitive action against an individual. It's a systemic change by the university and by our student body to choose not to be anti-Semitic. I feel like we've had a week to make that choice, and for some reason, students have still, despite what has happened, chosen to side with anti-Semitism rather than siding with the Jewish community. So clearly we're doing something wrong. But I'm not the evaluator of this. This is an administrative decision. This is code of conduct. These are things that are way above, which are confidential and which are like completely out of the scope of the things that I work on as student body president. So kind of what I mentioned earlier, I think we need to approach this with education. I think we need to approach it restoratively. I also think we need to have accountability and clear boundaries. I think that's important to make sure that acts of hate don't happen again on this campus, is so that people know what is and what is not allowed. And I think that, again, from here on out, we have been given funding by UCOP to, on this issue, to fight anti-Semitism, to fight Islamophobia, to fight hate on campus, to create productive discourse. So that is my focus. I'm trying to think forward. So I'll let administration decide, because that's their policy, and I also have no power to intervene in that policy, in student conduct, in any of those matters, again, because they're confidential to the students involved. So I'm going to allow them to handle it, and if there's ever a student that feels that they are being not rightfully treated by the administration, then that is a point where I can stand up for them and I can advocate for them. But right now, it's inappropriate for me to interfere in an administrative role. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. So, going off of what you just said, you're one of the most well-known but controversial figures on this campus. Lots of students admire and respect you for standing up for Jewish students, and there was, like, this large crowd on social media outside the MCC who were expressing support for you as well. But, and excuse me for being blunt, but just as many dislike you and feel you're not properly representing them by being so outspoken in your advocacy.
Sure.
And as I'm sure you're aware, there's like even efforts to recall you as president. How are you navigating advocating for students who heavily disagree with you, even those who might support the messaging of the MCC posters? And how are last week's events shaping your approach to serving as AS president?
I think that, well, there's a lot of layers here that I can try to address. But most importantly, and I mentioned this in the Senate meeting, I cannot sacrifice pieces of my identity in which I believe my advocacy is a part of my Jewish identity. I cannot sacrifice those pieces to satisfy those that disagree with me. And I again believe that it's important to recognize that at the end of the day, I am a student and I have a personal account and I'm allowed to share my political opinions. I'm allowed to talk about things that I care about, including but not limited to Middle Eastern politics. So, you know, I can understand where students may feel that because they disagree with my views that I'm not accurately representing them. However, my views on Middle Eastern politics don't play into my role as student body president because none of the decisions that I have made in my capacity as president have been on this issue. So, you know, none of my events have had to do with politics in the Middle East. I haven't written legislation that has to do with politics in the Middle East. So, you know, I've been trying to represent students as best as I can in my capacity as student body president. And as a Jewish person, as Tessa Wexler, I have opinions and I have feelings and reactions as any normal human would. And I don't believe that I should silence those thoughts, those opinions, and those feelings just because I have this role. I do believe that if I'm going to be, you know, a loud advocate, that I also have a responsibility to listen to my critics, which I've been trying to do. But again, I don't feel that a lot of it is criticism of my work. I have yet to hear, you know, like, in your capacity as president, you've written legislation that is very specific to this one community, or you haven't talked about our community in an event that you've done. Sure, like, let's talk about that. But disagreeing with my views, that's, you know, I don't have control over that. I can't really change that. In terms of what I'm trying to do for, you know, the rest of my presidency, these couple months that I have left, is coalition building. So I've already started trying to work and create a task force of students who really want to find a way for us to work together, with some Muslim students, with some Jewish students, not affiliated with any organization, not even affiliated with the presidency, but just trying to have some dialogue and understand where do we intersect, where do we not, where can we find shared struggle, where can we find shared joy, and how can we work together to create spaces on campus that are safe for all of us. So that is my focus right now, and again, I can't, you know, I'm not going to acknowledge every Yik Yak and Reddit and whatever people are saying about me, because it's, frankly, a lot of it is anti-Semitism. A lot of it is deeply targeted and, again, has nothing to do with my role. It has to do with me, like, as a human being, or rather, the lack thereof, I'm being dehumanized. So, you know, there's very little that I can do about people disliking me because I'm Jewish or people disliking me because I have emotions and feelings and political beliefs. So what I've been trying to do, and I believe that my work shows for it, that I've been extremely hardworking in my role. I have tried to accomplish as much as possible in this short, short time that I get to be in this position. And I've consistently tried to advocate and tried to listen and tried to approach my role with compassion and kindness to the best of my ability. And I'm never going to be perfect. And I'm sure that even if I didn't say a single word, someone would be upset with me, right? Because I think that saying nothing is actually worse than saying something. So, you know, I'm taking it day by day. I want feedback. but the feedback that's coming in bullying and harassment is not feedback that I'm able to respond to in an effective and constructive way.
Before we wrap up for today, do you have any final thoughts you want to share with our audience?
I just think that if I could leave anyone with anything, it's that our campus climate right now is hostile, and it's not hostile because of an individual. It's not hostile because of our administration. It's hostile because we have lost the ability to see each other as humans, and we have lost the ability to have dialogue on issues that are uncomfortable and that bring us disagreement. And I want our student body to get to a place in which we can respect each other as human beings and we can talk about things that are complex, while also recognizing that many of these issues do not affect us personally. And what does affect people on this campus is anti-Semitism directed at students, Islamophobia directed at students. That is pertinent to this campus. Something happening 3,000 miles away is not, in my opinion, exactly where our focus should be as a campus. I feel like we should try to restore, you know, the climate here. And again, I only have the best intentions trying to fight for my community, and while also being a good leader, while also finishing my studies, and I'm only one person, so I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to struggle. I welcome feedback, and I welcome criticism, and I will continue doing the best that I can to represent the student body here and leading them simultaneously through this really challenging time.